The following program is produced and distributed by KETR.org. You can help by visiting KETR.org and clicking donate.
All right, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Lions Roar Coaches Show here live from Snuffers in Greenville. Yeah, let's get going. We're going to be here at Snuffers every Monday night at 6 o'clock the rest of the season. So a 2-1 week for the Lions. Oh, this is Craig Case, our head volleyball coach. We've led off the show so many times with him that I forgot to introduce him. The Lions go 2-1 last week, pick up a win at Midwestern State. Take us through that match first.
Well, I thought I was...
By far the least exciting of the three, but...
Definitely the least. Last week was a good week. We started out up there in Wichita Falls and played a good team. We talked about them. They got a really good team. Probably not the record that they wanted it this time of the year, but they got a good team nonetheless, and I was really pleased with how we came out and the way we attacked, and we were able to get them off balance, and we were able to do some really good things that night, you know, that we hadn't done previously, and hopefully we continue to do. So I was really happy with the way we played up there in Wichita Falls.
So a sweep over the Mustangs, that gets you into prime position after one match into the second half of the conference season. And then number one team in the conference, Tarleton, comes into town. Two nationally ranked teams.
Yep.
Wound up losing that match 3-1, but I don't think that is at all the story of the night. Tell us what you saw from how we started to how we finished, and then a little bit about the atmosphere that night.
Well, you know, I think I think championship pedigree was on display that night. They've got a championship level team, and they've won some championships, and I think they came out early in that match and had a mental advantage on us. By the time our players caught up, you know, we're down 2-0, and really, really proud of the way our team fought back. And you know, for me, the biggest thing was, I always talk about how we've got maybe the best fans in the Lone Star Conference, and the reason that is they stay with us until the end.
But then the fourth set, so Tarleton comes back. They win at 27-25, and I believe we did have set point at one point, and they ended on three. That was the loudest I think I've ever heard the field house in terms of relatively outside of maybe a field house basketball game or something. I feel like we had some first-time volleyball fans there who showed up. I know it definitely helped that the football team was able to stick around.
Yep.
And it helps that Tarleton's got a short drive, so you've got visiting fans as well. But that was easily the most intense atmosphere we've had for a line volleyball match in the 3 years I've been there, and probably for as long as you can remember.
I've been there a long time, apparently. We bring it up every week. And then also, I don't know that I remember all that well, but it definitely was. You know, and I think and what makes it great is that it was more about, whether it was us or Tarleton's fans, it was about celebrating points. You know, we would do something and the place would erupt, and they would do something and you'd hear some noise because they had some fans there. But it's fun to be in that environment more than a hostile crowd that's just kind of attacking and not mm-hmm. but the fact both teams were playing at a high level and giving everybody something to cheer for, I think really made that a fun environment, and it was just a blast, man. And you know, I've said it a bunch since then, and I've had so many people come up and talk to me after that match about how much fun they had, and you're right. I mean, I talked to about probably 5 or 6 different people at the football game Saturday night, and they were like, that was the first volleyball match we made it to, and I'm like, well, you need to keep coming back. And then so I'm hopeful that a lot of the people that came out to that will continue and come out as we go on, and especially our last home weekend.
Looking at a match like that, it's been a long time since we'd lost at home, and mm-hmm. it's one of those that it was definitely felt like a loss, but you definitely felt like you played well as well. So there's no moral victories, coaches, but you knew you had some of the building blocks for the game against Angelo State the next day. You come out, another big crowd. I think that probably helped. The having to move the tailgate inside probably helped.
Yep.
So the weather helped you more than it helped football.
yes, it did.
Football's crowd. But getting a big win like that against Angelo State, sweeping for Marcus, correct me if I'm wrong, first time in 12 years that we swept Angelo? First time in 12 years that we swept Angelo, home or road. And 25-22, 22-18, hitting over 250 in every set, holding them under 200 in every set. I mean, that's a pretty resounding all-around victory.
Yeah, I put it up on my Twitter. They're a national powerhouse. They didn't play it like that day, but they are. And the thing that I loved about our team that day is they respected Angelo enough that when we got that 2-game lead, that was the focus. We're not going to give them an opportunity to come back and win this match because they're good enough. They're good enough to come back.
And they did at their place.
They did at their place, and then they were up There was a two-game split of them against Texas Women's the night before. So, you know, we knew they were capable of coming back, and our team respected them enough to go, hey, we're not letting this happen again, especially at home. And they just went out and they played really good volleyball. And I was really pleased with the way our team played and some of the things we did that kind of kept Angelo State off balance on Saturday.
Looking at the statistics, Shelly Chaperone has 10 kills to lead everybody in that match. In a three-setter, it's hard to get double figures, for sure. But it seems like overall as a team, everybody who needed to contribute did at the right time.
Yeah, you know, and I think you go down a couple of lines on your stat sheet there. The biggest thing with that is blocks. You know, we've got three of the best middles in the league, and they haven't had a four-plus. All four of them haven't had four or more blocks in a single match all year. And so when we can get those three blocking at the level we need them to be blocking at, it makes us a much better team. And then when they're affecting the other team, it's going to give us better opportunities. And so I think, you know, the one thing that we really like talking about is spreading it around and being a tough team to defend. And we definitely ended up that way against Angelo State.
Now we're tied with Angelo State, looking at the conference standings with the head-to-head split during the year. So technically somebody's got to separate themselves to get second place. There's a three-game difference now between Tarleton and the two of us.
Yep.
But Tarleton does play Angelo on Wednesday. Take us through this week. It's a little bit different because you're into a spot where you're supposed to be having three match weeks because of the way travel partners work out. But it's a two-match week with two very different road trips.
Friday night, we head down to Kingsville. So it's going to be a really tough week, you know, just being on the road. I mean, you sit here and you look at, well, this one doesn't show up. You look at home records, and I think there's only one team in the entire league that's got a losing record at home. So anywhere you go in the Lone Star Conference due to travel, it's difficult travel. But then everybody's just so talented that it's just tough to win on the road. And
that was a heck of a match with them at our place.
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to be a good match, and we're excited for it. And this is the time of the year where, you know, you don't practice as much, but you know the focus is a lot less on training and a lot more on competing. And you know, I think our team knows that we've got a special group this year, and they've got an opportunity to do something really special at this school, and I think they're focused on doing those things.
As you were saying, I was able to finally pull up the home records. You look at it, Midwestern and Cameron are at the bottom of the pack in terms of everything. They're not having the seasons they want. They have bad home records. Everybody else, nobody has more than four home losses.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty incredible, especially when you look at, you know, Tarleton's played 12 home matches. They've lost one. Angelo's played nine. They haven't lost. We played nine, and our only loss is to Tarleton. So here we go for our fan question of the day Spike in Luckenbach.
Oh, okay, Spike.
I didn't know they even had the internet in Luckenbach.
Thanks for listening, Spike.
Did you know that volleyball spelled backwards is Swahili for Lions Win?
I didn't, but I'm glad to know that.
I also didn't know anybody in Luckenbach knew Swahili. The amount of insanity that is happening on this radio show is starting to get...
It's going to be one of them nights, buddy. It's
about to get a little bit ridiculous. So, well, good luck. So, hopefully, and then we're back at home next week, and it's hard to believe, and I don't want to skip this too early, but we're only a week and a half away from senior night.
Yeah.
This back half of the season moves quickly, and regional rankings will be out a week from Wednesday.
Yep.
Hard to believe. Well, thanks a lot, Coach Case. We're going to bring our head football coach, Colby Carthel, up in the next segment. You're watching Lions Roar here live from Stuffers in Greenville.
The program you're enjoying right now was made possible by a group of folks just like you who make contributions to public radio. Support programs just like this one. Visit KETR.org and click donate.
All right, we're back here on the Lions Roar Coaches Show live from Stuffers in Greenville. We're here with our head football coach, Colby Carthel. The Lions took one on the chin in the fourth quarter on Saturday night, lost 47-21 to Tarleton overall in a game that was a six-point game going into the fourth quarter. Give us kind of your breakdown, your overall thoughts of how the night went from the beginning when weather was looking weird, and then it turned out almost perfect.
Shoot, there for about 48 hours before, we thought we'd be playing on Sunday again for the second straight week. Just didn't think we'd be able to get the game in, and it just so happened that evening it kind of calmed down and quit raining, and we actually had some fairly decent weather for the game. So glad to get it in. Two good football teams, and unfortunately we didn't play very well, but that happens sometimes. A lot of credit to Tarleton because they did. But it was a good ball game, back and forth. I was pleased the way we got things started. You know, they got a field goal. We responded, drove right down the field for a touchdown. And then other than that, you know, fought back in the game with a kickoff return. It was a, I forget what the score was at halftime. But
that was 24-14 back,
guys. All right, 24-14. And we came right back out and drove down and scored. And had some adversity strike with a fumble that we couldn't quite army crawl and get on top of. But looked like the Bad News Bears there for a little bit. But defense held them. And like I said, still had a chance down six and driving and self-imploded once again. And then, you know, gave up a couple scores late score looks bad, but it was a much closer game than the final score indicated. But we just made way too many mistakes, way too many penalties, had 18 penalties, most we've had in our 6 years here. So got some things we definitely can work on and get fixed moving forward.
Looking at the two fumbles, I thought after the first one, that was a bad snap. Kane, the quarterback, he was trying to fall on it, and he kept looking, like you said, an army crawl, and he couldn't quite get to it. He wasn't trying to do the spectacular play like you see some errors in that. He was trying to fall on it and just couldn't. And then they return it, and they get the ball down to the Commerce 5-yard line, and we hold them on four plays to 1 yard and a field goal. Our defense seems to do pretty well with their backs against the wall. What do you attribute that to?
You know, it was actually five plays because we were offsides. They got an extra play there. So I tell you what, they do get us out of some jams. And when we screw up, we do it very poorly. Both fumbles. We had two fumbles. Both of them were inside our own five.
Yeah.
So we're not doing ourselves any favors whatsoever. The other one was on a muff kickoff return. But, you know, we've got to take care of our defense, you know, a little better than that. And it comes down to turnover margin, bottom line, and we are ranked nearly dead last in the country right now in turnover margin, and that's a team stat. That's the stat that most correlates to wins or losses, and we're very, very poor at that stat right now, and that's I think we've had seven or eight turnovers in the special teams, which is uncharacteristic. We're not creating many turnovers on defense, and we're turning over, you know, too much on offense. And so we're not going to win as many games as we should. We should probably be fortunate that we're 5-2, because I did the math on the 15 other teams on page 4 of that stat, and they were, as of last week, they were, I think, 14-77, which
that's not very good.
That's you know, not very good even if you're batting in baseball, you know.
No.
Baseball is the only time you can have a losing record, you know, a losing percentage, and they think you're great. You bet 300, you're an all-star.
Yeah.
And that's only hitting it 3 out of every 10 times. But football is not very good. So we've got to do a better job of taking care of the ball if we want to, you know, have the kind of season that we'd like to.
Looking at some other team stats that usually give you an indication of how a game's going, possession time, usually a team that has the ball more tends to win. They actually had the ball less, but when you go back and look, yards per play was within a tenth of a yard of each other. Tarleton ran 20 more plays than we did. They had a little bit of up tempo as well, but like you said, how much of that is the defense not getting off the field? How much of that is turnovers? How do you see that balance? Because that balance of yard or plays per game has swung in the opponent's favor a little more than we're used to.
Make no mistake, we were not very good on in any facet of the game on Saturday night. And defensively, you know, we gave up rushing yards, which is uncharacteristic, but we were also, you know, not very good on third down. I mean, we were, I think, one of the top five teams in third down defense going into the game, and they had it, you know, they converted more than half the time on third down, I believe. And
9-17.
Right, yards per rush was about, I think, 5 yards a carry, and that is not our standard and not acceptable. You're not going to win football games when you do that. So, you know, and some of that stuff, we just got, you know, outgunned. Some of it was, you know, misaligned or misassigned and made some mistakes that we hadn't made the previous 4 or 5 weeks. So, you know, things can be corrected, and we expect to get them corrected and expect to have a better performance moving forward.
Looking at one of the big positives from that game, obviously, is going to be Reggie Kincaid's performance in the kickoff return game. Over 41 yards of return with a 100-yard kickoff return for a touchdown. His second of his career, 99-plus, gets Lone Star Conference co-special team player of the week. Mm-hmm. That'll be a special video presentation there. Talk about Reggie and what he brings in the return game, because obviously, as a track All-American on that 4x1 2 years ago, he has explosive speed. But it just seemed like everybody else was running in slow motion, and he was like a bullet.
Yeah, no, he is just like we saw in the national championship game last year. Once he season opening, you know, we called it at about the 32-yard line. We're like, well, he ain't getting caught.
Yeah.
So not many kickers are athletic enough to bring him down. Really talented player, talented student athlete, does a great job with our track program. We've had several dual sport guys throughout our career here. As I told, I saw Coach Pincock leaving, going to Booster Club today. I said, hey, remember, Reggie's a senior. Find me another one like that. We actually recruited him for football, then he ran track wise here. But we'll continue to double him up like that in time. And if we find guys that are good at both sports, and hopefully we can keep getting some good production in both sports from student athletes like that.
How much of, on a return guy like that, and the Dominique Ramsey's had a punt return for a touchdown this year, how much of that is carryover from what they know in high school, or how much is that a thing that you learn in player development?
I think, you know, being a return man is something that you got to be a unique individual. Not just everybody can go out there, especially returning punts. I don't know if you've ever tried to catch a punt.
No, I have not.
You know, looking at your athletic build, I would have guessed that.
Yes, it's a fair assessment.
It's tough to catch a punt, and then, you know, you got everybody bearing down on you that's, you know, there sometimes before the ball. So it takes a special person to sit back there and do that and then have a knack of getting upfield. But there is a stark difference between punt returning and kick returning. But you know, a lot of it goes to the people that are up in front of you and working. And we've put a lot of emphasis on special teams and always have and have usually done very well in that. And in this past game, that showed at times. But then a couple kickoff returns later, it looked like we'd never practice at all when we couldn't field the ball and gave it back to them on the 3-yard line. So it just, you know, comes and goes. But those guys are unique individuals returning that.
All right, we close the book on that game. It's gone. It's in the past. There we go. We're going to look ahead to Western New Mexico.
I won't soon forget it.
Well, there's a difference between forgetting and not talking about it on the radio.
First time we'd lost to them in our career here.
And I'll let you use these game notes. These will not be in the game notes package.
Wasn't fun giving the trophy away, and first time we'd lost to them as a staff since 2003, I believe it was. And so that's 14 years and 15 wins in a row. So time to start a new streak.
I was going to say, I'm not going to put that in my game notes package, but you can always keep that in yours. So
kudos to the Texans. They did a good job, and they beat us. You got to tip your hat sometimes, and they did a good job.
Hat tipped.
Now we can move on.
We'll hop on the plane Friday morning, head to El Paso, hop on the bus, head to Silver City, go play the Western New Mexico Mustangs. Talk a little bit about this team that we're about to see and this trip, because it's definitely unique in terms of conference trips for us.
Unique trip, you know, but it's a trip that most people circle and they dread it because they're usually bussing 15, 16, 18 hours up there. But thanks to our generous Lion Champions Fund boosters and our administration, we're able to provide our student athletes a best-in-class experience and fly out there. One of the few teams in the country that actually, maybe the only team I know in the country that fly to a regular season conference match. And so it makes for a fun trip to fly and see that country and then be able to play a game and get back home in a decent hour without just being, you know, road weary. So it's a pretty setup out there. The stadium's kind of up in the mountains there in Silver City and in unique place. No, it's real grass and no lights. So you play the game, it's like you're stepping back, you know, a couple decades and playing it the way the game was meant to be played. So it'll be fun, and hopefully the game doesn't go into two or three overtimes or it may get dark on us. But I
hope that for many, many reasons that it doesn't go to double or triple overtime based on the other teams.
Miss your flight, yeah. Yeah. But anyway, we're excited to get out there and play, and they're struggling right now. You know, their coach does a good job. I met him this summer. He did a fantastic job. He used to coach right down the road here at Southwest Assemblies of God at Waxahachie, and did a took a morbid I don't know what the word is not morbid
moribund that's the word you're
there
looking
you go
for.
Moribund or whatever
I've been very impressed that you used it too.
Morbid, moribund, it's all the same. They were a terrible program, and he turned them into a really good program, and I expect them to do the same there at Western New Mexico. Obviously got hired late and didn't have a lot of time to recruit, so they've struggled a little bit this year, and hopefully we can get out there and correct some of the wrongs that we had this past weekend and get back in the win column and come back to Commerce at 6-2.
How much does the altitude affect the players? I remember watching Christoph there 2 years ago. I think it might have been his career long at that point. Punts were flying all over the place. I think Luis had a 42-yard punt that day.
No, you know, it does affect probably the kicking game more than anything. Throwing the ball, it doesn't affect it much. I think they're predicting some pretty heavy wind, So that'll have an impact on the game, at least in the kicking game and the ability to throw the ball in the wind, which that's, you know, we've played in the wind before, and we're going to throw the ball whether it blows or not. So it'll be interesting to see exactly how the weather, you know, plays out on Saturday.
We ask, when we've been going on the road, we ask about the if you can't be a big-time coach, be a big coach playlist, I guess you'd call it. Your I-10 West trip, what are some spots you hit up? What are some of your New Mexico highlights or El Paso highlights?
Well, last time we were out there, it is chilly season,
mm-hmm.
and you are about 18 miles from Hatch, New Mexico, which Hatch green chilies are pretty much world famous, and so I'm not going to leave out the fact that we went out there last time, got a victory, and we also made it back with over 40 pounds of freshly roasted Hatch green chili. So hopefully we're sending a pickup with a trailer, and some of those young coaches may have to make a pit stop with some of Coach Carthel's money to make sure that we bring back another cooler full of Hatch green chilies, and hopefully we get a win too. So
other duties as assigned, right?
Other duties as assigned by the head coach. But by golly, we've sure enjoyed some good hamburgers with green chilies and turkey sandwich with the green chilies, ooh, and green chili casserole. And they don't make them much better than out there. So if people are making the trip, Hatch, New Mexico, it is chili season. Take a cooler.
And then we will be stopping in El Paso. And if I remember right, you've got some childhood history with El Paso. I remember we were driving through and you were trying to pick out your house up on the hill or something like that.
806 Firedale. It's up on the mountain, west side.
You just said that on the internet.
Yeah, so. 806 Firedale. You can go by my old house and say, there's Coach Carthel's old house. If you're
the historical
creepy,
marker,
weird, and just have nothing to do with your time, have at it.
All right. Well, we will get on the plane on Friday, head out to western New Mexico. We'll be hitting the air. Kickoff noon Mountain Time, 1 o'clock here on the Lions Sports Network. You'll be listening to this at noon our time, and hopefully we'll be talking about a win from the field in Silver City.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. Well, we'll take a quick break, and we're going to have a very, very special guest to close out the show.
Sam Walker.
The Executive Director of Alumni Engagement, the reason you're all here.
He is special.
Walker.
I'm going to stick around for that one.
All right. We'll take a quick break, and we'll talk to Sam right here on Lions Roar.
This show and others like it from KETR.org are made possible by generous contributions from listeners just like you. Donate today at KETR.org.
All right, we're back here for segment three on the Lions Roar Coaches Show live from Snuffers in Greenville.
Yeah, no Lions!
With a very boisterous crowd and guest. And it's already gone off the rails in ways that we could expect. We're here with our Executive Director of Alumni Engagement and former men's basketball coach, Sam Walker. First off, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here.
Let's turn your microphone on. That'd probably be useful. How's that?
Glad to be here.
There we go.
Glad to be here. Test, one, two, test, test, test.
Because we didn't test it in the two segments before this somehow. So you've been here for a little while. You've been.
A lot of good times.
A lot of really good times.
A lot of times. The good times have been here lately. The past few years of how we've seen our university grow. Not just our athletic department, but our whole university has just been truly amazing. It's been great to be a part of seeing the growth of something and building something, and then to couple that with what we're doing with our athletic department from an academic standpoint, from a social standpoint, and especially it makes you so proud when you have every program that's winning on such a high level on a national level. It makes you proud to do your job.
You guys, in alumni relations, one of your most visible roles, I would say, is in the tailgate. And even though it's been raining and flooding and soft and all sorts of things, the tailgate for alumni relations has been exceptional, I'd say, this year. And especially talk a little bit about how it's been going all season and then talk about the curveball you had to throw for the Tarleton game.
Well, when you know, I kind of got over there in that office and we started talking about what we're going to do to engage alums, and the question that was always asked to me is, you know, how are we going to get people back to the university? How can we get them back here? And we were like, folks, we got about 2,000 alums that are coming back on campus that are here for football games, and that might be a low number of people that are buying tickets to be here on campus. Why aren't we engaging those people while we have them here? So it's really taken a life of itself. So with, you know, help of our football program, when you have a head football coach that walks through tailgate 1 hour before the game and is shaking hands and talking to people, and you have the support all of the athletic department and their staff. We've really been able to grow an atmosphere that has been great for our alums and great for our football program. And this past weekend, we were able to have a great tailgate for our volleyball program right there in the field house.
That was definitely a new experience for me, indoor tailgating.
Indoor tailgating was pretty good. The weather was perfect, and we had plenty of food. And
nobody sank in the ground. You didn't have to get – Tell us some of your adventures in groundskeeping this year.
Well,
Lock Haven game.
I think we had rakes in our hand at about 7 a.m.
Rakes and a little bit of that baseball clay.
But, you know, seriously, just the opportunity to have that many people back on campus and to have something, what we've done with our football program has ignited so many different parts of our university from not just our alumni engagement, but from, you know, recruiting new students. It puts a lot of pride in what people think about our university, and it kind of re-engages what people think about the passion that they have for our school.
Speaking of tons of alums coming back to campus, a week from Saturday is homecoming.
Homecoming is going to be – we've really revamped what we're doing with homecoming. We don't do the parade anymore. We have really kind of – we have what – I would like to say is an extended tailgate. Okay. So at 8 a.m. in the alumni office from 8 to noon, that's just going to be alumni headquarters. If you come back to campus, we'll have people from every academic department, from the various fraternities and sororities and social organizations to give campus tours all over campus. We have breakfast, old annuals and stuff out for people to see. Cheerleaders get involved with it, and so it'll be a good morning party that we'll all move over at noon. Over to the fields for tailgate and those activities right there. And then the ability to really put a good tail whipping on our friends from out in Canyon. It's going to be it'll make for a really good day from beginning to end to end it with a good win against West Texas.
Have you ordered up different weather than you have for the previous four
actually,
home games?
I have looked at the weather really close, and the weather is going to be beautiful about 3 or 4 days before. We got a golf tournament on that Friday. That I think we got about 15 teams for that golf tournament, and it's going to be a really good event. And then we've got events all the rest of Friday evening, Saturday morning. So just check the website, and you can kind of see if there's a little bit of something for everybody.
We do have a question from the audience for Sam Walker.
Is this a call-in, or is this from the audience? Are we calling in?
It's Jackie from Flint, Michigan. First time, long time. Have you ever seen a four-point play on the last second of the game against West Texas, which led to an overtime win?
I have. Actually, I have witnessed that. I didn't think it would happen. That is Jackie from
Flint, Michigan.
Flint, yes, from the tropics. So Jackie used to work with the Flint Tropics. He's a friend of mine. And
he might have ordered the corn dogs tonight.
He might have ordered corn dogs, Jackie. We're going to have corn dogs. It's a great question.
Corn dogs. And then – to go back to the basketball a little bit and not just talk all your normal work, you coach here for 25 years overall. You're involved with a quarter of the program's history. What's your most memorable win or trip in that 25 years?
Oh,
not necessarily best. Or what's, like, when you look back at your college coaching career, what's the trip or game that stands out the most?
I don't know if there's one that stands out. But
well,
when
drop
I,
two or three then.
When I look at the memories of my career, I really don't remember wins or losses or good teams or bad times, but the road trips with the various assistants and the various teams, you know, in basketball, very much like volleyball, we travel, we play so many games, mm-hmm. and you just feel like you're constantly on one bus to the next, and I think those road trips might be the worst memories and the best memories. They're the ones, like, I'm glad I never have to do it again, but I think when we get together and we talk about old times and stuff, we usually laugh about the road trips. So, funny thing, being in a restaurant like this, when I had an assistant that came to work with us, and he asked Coach Burton, he said, "Coach Burton, what do I need to know about Coach Walker that'll kind of help me out?" He said, "Whenever you pull up to a restaurant, like it's a Chili's or something like that, make him sit on the bus, wait, go in, talk to the people, get everything ordered, and then let him come in." Because I would always get freaked out at the restaurants about this and that, just with nervous energy and stuff. So I don't know. There's a lot of great stories, but I really think those road trips were a lot of fun.
All right, and then the other basketball question. I think I may have asked you this your last year when we were up in Golden for the NCAA regionals. Out of all that time, either exhibition, regular season, repeat offender, one time off, what outside of the field house, what was your favorite arena or gym that you coached in?
Oh, well, what is the school in Springfield, Missouri?
Drury.
The
old one or the new one?
The old one.
My little sister went there, yes. So I went to her college graduation. In that
Drury moment. Had a gymnasium that everyone was – I don't know how the floor was 94 feet. If you've been in there before,
yes,
it was such
it's tight
area. It was like the box at West Texas, but even smaller and right on top even. They'd sell the entire thing out, and the crowd was right there where they could put their hands right on the back of your chairs. And we did have a win there. Would always go up there because Coach Peek, the guy that I worked for, his parents were in a nursing home there.
Okay.
And would go up to Missouri and would get our tails whipped. And I said, Coach, I'm going to have to be in charge of the scheduling because we're not coming up here to see your parents for a vacation. So we can come up. But that arena was probably the neatest arena of anyone that I've ever been in.
See, they don't play in there anymore. They built a new one. There.
Well, second to that would be the box at West Texas when we played there. I thought that was a phenomenal home court advantage, how the fans were on you. And then, you know, I really like what we've done with the field house. We've kind of moved the stands in a little bit closer, and with our crowds that we have, I think we have a phenomenal home court advantage at the field house. The volleyball game Friday night was one of the best sporting events I've been to in the field house.
I was going to say, outside of the field house, I don't remember it being louder in the 3 years I've been here.
It's a great environment. We've done some great things to really fix up with all of our sports, fixing up locker rooms and offices, and we've really made the field house a place that people can really be proud of.
How tough is it to just watch a game?
Oh, it's easy to watch a game now. So people ask me that all the time. They go, I know you miss it. And I tell them, and this is the truth, there's never a day that I wake up that I don't miss my previous job, but there's never a day that I wake up that I wish I could go back and do it again. I'm really enjoying what I'm doing right now. It gives us an opportunity to really engage with people that have passion for our university. And when you've spent basically your entire adult life at one place, mm-hmm. with one school, with one group of people, it is so much fun and so gratifying to be able to work every day with people that have such a passion for something you have a passion for.
Well, you obviously have a passion for it, and you're doing a heck of a job with it. And we know that this is just the beginning, hopefully, of many improved things in the alumni relations department with you as the Executive Director of Alumni Engagement.
That's a long title for as little as I feel like we're getting done.
Well, I feel like you've been doing it for what, essentially a year and a half, and I've seen the difference as well. And
Well, we're having a good time. We're enjoying it. We work with really good people. Our alums are the best alums around. They make the job really easy when you work with people that, not as far as coworkers and stuff, which are great, but the people that we work with day to day at our various functions have such a passion for the university. There's so much more we can do and so much we will do over the years.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Sam. Just for everybody watching, don't forget, we do have 4 home soccer matches in the next 7 days, starting Friday to Friday. There are 4 home soccer matches, Friday, Sunday, Wednesday, Friday. Senior night for volleyball and soccer just around the corner on the Friday of homecoming weekend. Plenty of big-time events. No excuse not to come out and support the Lions, and no excuse not to be in here every Monday night, always at Snuffers for the rest of the season for the Lions Roar Coaches Show. Every Monday night, 6 o'clock here at Snuffers and on Lions Roar. Thanks a lot. I'm signing off for Josh Mike. Oh, wait, for Lions Roar, this is Josh Mike. Whatever.